It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Last time we left off looking at the life of Paul, the missionary journeys that he was taking, and we've looked at Missionary Journey 1 and Missionary Journey 2, and now we're looking at Missionary Journey 3. And we see that, once again, we've read how that he has gone to Ephesus, and everywhere Paul went, we saw things happening. But people got saved, and miracles took place. And as these things happened, God used these things that happened along the way to reach other people, to let them know that they too could be saved and on their way to heaven. And we've looked up to chapter 19 and verse 10, and now let's look further in verse 11 and 12. It says there that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, we talked about this the last time. And it says in verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, once again, there is a mistaken notion here. As the people watched these amazing miracles that took place, there were those who wanted to do what Paul did. Now, I remind you that when things like this took place in Paul's life, or the lives of the apostles, they, once again, it talks about the handkerchiefs, and the handkerchiefs that would touch the body of Paul would once again, it was not the handkerchief or anything else that had the healing power. It was God that did the healing, but people saw this. And I remind you that the Jews require a sign. So they see the outward appearance. They saw something that took place. They saw with their eyes. So therefore, God could deal with their hearts and say, look, this is what is happening here, and you need to do the same thing. You need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. And this is the reason it was done. And I remind you also that people see with their eyes. They see the outward appearance. God sees the heart. He knows his people. He knows who's saved. But the people who are looking on, they don't know. And this is the reason during this time that we're reading about, God let the people see something special happening. And it was all of God. But he was letting these people know these and these certain things so that they too could be saved. Well, once again, as the people watched these miracles, they were amazing. And some wanted to do what Paul did. In verse 13 of Acts chapter 19, it says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. Well, once again, there's something that takes place here that some people need to take heed, because some people try this today and they try to say it's in Jesus' name. But notice what happened here. Notice especially now, there are seven Jewish brothers who wanted to try to do the same thing that Paul was doing. And these seven brothers, we read about them in Acts chapter 19, verse 14, it says, and there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priest, which did so. Now, in other words, they were up to something. And what they were up to was this. These brothers had observed what Paul could, that he could cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And so they thought that they would use this same formula. They probably said to themselves, well, if it worked for Paul, then it should work for us. Well, they thought that if they used Paul's magic formula, then the demons would come right out of people. Well, these copycats came up to a man who was demon-possessed. Acts chapter 19, verses 14 and 15 talks about this. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. In other words, they were copying Paul. And notice what happened here. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Well, they probably said something like this, evil spirit, in the name of Jesus, we command you to come out of this man. Well, suddenly the demon answered them and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but Who are you? Well, the evil spirit did not obey Siva's son's commands, but the man who was possessed leaped on the sons. Remember now, this man, he was demon-possessed. Verse 15 says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? Verse 16 goes on to say, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Well, if you go to Mark chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, you're going to read this. It says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This is speaking of Jesus coming out of the ship. A man with an unclean spirit met him. Verse 3 says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He was a wild man. He was demon-possessed. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 13, it goes on to say, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He said, okay, out of the way now. And the unclean spirits went out. In other words, Jesus said, come out of him. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Can you imagine being demon-possessed by 2,000 demons? Well, this is what the Bible says was wrong with this man. He was demon-possessed with at least 2,000 demons. Well, once again, going back thinking about Paul, Paul was successful in casting out evil spirits because the living God enabled him. The demons were not afraid of Paul, but they were afraid of the God that Paul loved and served. Of these seven Jews, the seven sons of Siva, who the spirit, the man jumped on, who was filled with these evil spirits, they did not love and serve the living God. Paul had much more than a formula. He had the power of God backing him up. These seven sons of Siva did not have that power. They were simply trying to mock what they had seen Paul do. See, unsaved people sometimes try to copy Christians, even today. Sometimes unsaved people pray before they eat. And oftentimes they go to church and say prayers in Jesus' name and even read the Bible. Well, these kinds of people are Christian copycats. But God is not backing them up. They do not have a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way to be real is to have the real Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you're not a copycat, that you're not a copycat Christian who thinks by simply saying a few words, magical words, in Jesus' name and so forth, that you're a Christian. You must come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that there's such a thing as repentance. God says he requires all men everywhere to repent in order to go to heaven. What does that mean? Repentance means to have a change of mind. A change of mind in the sense that you know that you can't save yourself. There's a time when you think, well, everything's all right. I'm as good as the next person. I'm going to go to heaven if they're going to go to heaven. But you see, you need to change your mind, because people don't go to heaven by simply thinking they're going to go there or thinking they're good enough to get there. God says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we must come to him faith believing. In other words, we have a change of mind. We know we can't save ourselves, and we're going to depend upon the one who can save us, and that person is Jesus Christ. And we become a new creature in Christ once we receive him as Lord and Savior. Repentance, change your mind, knowing that you can't go to heaven on your own, that you need to say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, you was buried, and you resurrected from the grave. And more than that, Lord, I believe that you are God, and that one day I will see you personally, because I'm going to ask you to save me right now and come into my heart. Now, if you'll pray and ask God to save you, that prayer is not going to save you. It's what is in your heart. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means when you get saved, that there's something different about you. Not only does your mouth speak different, but your actions and everything about you changes. And God will lead you and guide you if you will let Him do that. He will speak to your heart and change your life on this earth so that you can live for Him and help others come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Won't you trust Him today and ask Him to come into your heart, faith believing, once again, acknowledging who He is. He's God. He's the Savior, and He wants to save you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Once again, we read that when a person believes on Christ, he or she has a new life. It says, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When a person comes to know the Lord, he may have certain possessions that he needs to get rid of. These things were part of his old life, but they are no longer part of his new life. See, suppose a man has marijuana, cocaine, LSD, it used to be a drug that people use, and other harmful drugs, and also possibly bad magazines or pornography or whatever. Well, one day he believes on Christ. He's saved and has a brand new life according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Well, what should he do now with the drugs and the other things he worshipped before being saved? Are these part of his new life? Well, the answer, of course, is no. And sometimes there are things in a person's life that need to go. And once again, you don't get rid of things to get saved. You get rid of things because you are saved. You say, what do I get rid of? God will speak to your heart. He'll let you know what's right. He'll let you know what is wrong. And my advice to you is to get into a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church where the Word of God is preached. And the more you hear the Word of God, the more God can deal with your heart as a Christian and help you to know what to do in your Christian life to bring honor and glory to Him. And I mentioned earlier that when we get saved, we escape hell. We go to heaven. But the greatest thing is this: we can bring honor and glory to God by trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Once you get saved today, if you've never done that, ask Him to save you. Well, we go on and study about these believers in the city of Ephesus. And once again, people do certain things after they get saved. And these people at Ephesus, they possessed certain books which were part of their old superstitious life. They had all kinds of magic books, sorcery books, and witchcraft books. Well, what did they do with all these books? Well, the next time that we study the book of Acts, we're going to talk about that. What they did with those things that could no longer and never did bring honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had together. And I pray for that person listening today, Lord, who's never trusted you. I pray for that person, Lord, may that person receive you right now as Lord and Savior. And I pray for that person who is saved. May you lead, guide, and direct their paths, that person's path today, Lord, and help that person to bring honor and glory to you for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.